of those songs that pick up on the truths of Scripture and just illuminate them for us. What a great song. Well, I've been handed a note to say that in spite of all of our review and editing and checking and making sure it was right, it's still wrong. Northwest Flock is west of 741, not 48. So if you're in Northwest Flock, take a peek at that. Change that to west of 741, north of the county line. That way we don't have people in the same area trying to be in two different flocks. You go every other week. What can you say? Well, if you'll take your copy of God's Word and turn to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. I'm sure probably Chad is thinking, well, no. I'm going to steal as much of your thunder as possible. Okay. Well, there are two very different viewpoints on money. I'm going to represent them from the world, first from a popular group, the 80s, called ABBA. Work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay, and it's sad, and still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I get me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. Money, money, money must be funny in the rich man's world. Money, 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 always sunny in the rich man's world. All the things I could do if I had a little money is a rich man's world. Well, I'm a jazz fan. The OJs said this. Pardon all the repetition, you know how that goes. Money, 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 money. Some people got to have it, some people really need it. Listen to me, y'all. Do things, do bad things with it. You want to do things, good things with it. Talk about cash money, talk about cash money, dollar bills, y'all. For the love of money, people will steal from their money, from their mother. From the love of money, people will rob their own brother. For the love of money, people can't even walk on the street because they never know who in the world they're going to beat. For the lean, mean, green, almighty dollar money. For the love of money, people will lie. Lord, they will cheat for the love of money. People don't care who they hurt or beat for the love of money. I know money is the root of all evil. Do funny things to some people. Give me a nickel, brother. Can you spare a dime? Money can drive some people right out of their minds. Gotta have it. I really need it. How many things have I heard you say? Some people really need it. How many things have I heard you say? Gotta have it. I really need it. How many things have I heard you say? Don't let money rule you. For the love of money. Money can change people sometimes. Don't let money fool you. Well, the 80s rock band ABBA expressed the world's thinking about money. It's summed up in those last three lines. All the things I could do if I had a little money. It's a rich man's world. And frankly, it often seems this way to Christians as well. Just give me a little more money and everything will be okay. In the life of the chapel, we set aside September to think through stewardship. Biblical stewardship is not just about giving our money. It's about our whole lives lived before the very face of God. At the core of our thinking about stewardship is this cluster of verses. 1 Corinthians 6:20, you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Philippians 1:20-21, it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Can you say that with Paul? It's better to die. And then 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6-10, so we are always of good courage, Paul writes. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we'd rather be away from the body and home with the Lord. So whether at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done, whether good or evil. Stewardship, then, is about how we use all the resources God gives us, whether it's our time, our abilities, or even our money. Each has its own sphere of privileges and responsibilities, as well as the guidelines for how in that area you might please God. Where do people struggle with money? The answer to that is often just about everywhere. How they want it, how they get it, how they keep it, how they spend it, more often than not, how they lose it. Well, this morning I want to hold up the light of Christ's wisdom in Proverbs, where our Redeemer and Ruler interprets money for us. Now, we're going to look at a sampling of texts and ideas rather than doing an exhaustive study. It would take probably two sermons to do an exhaustive study in Proverbs. So I'm trying to just take some verses that sort of turn on the light over a topic, a theme, a cluster of ideas. And I may only take one verse, but there's a whole lot of other verses around that that illuminate that idea for us. So let's ask God's blessing to give us His wisdom so we will walk pleasing to Him. Father, when Jesus walked among us, He held up two things as most exhibiting where we were in our relationship with You: how we handled our tongue and how we handled our money. And I find people don't cringe quite as much when we talk about our tongue, but run for their lives and grab hold of their wallets when we talk about money. Father, we want to be pleasing to You. We want to avoid this topic. We don't want to highlight it as though it were the most important thing in the world, because it isn't. But we want to be pleasing to You, honoring to You, and walk with You not only in Your will, but in Your wisdom, to be holy people and to be wise people. Would You begin that work this morning by helping us to understand through Your Spirit and the application of grace to our hearts these truths from Proverbs. And all God's people said, Amen. Now, you're going to have to be ready this morning at times to respond to me and respond with me. I'm going out on a limb a little bit here, because you're going to have to speak up at times. We don't usually do this, but I hope that this will help you engage. I see Brother Bailey sitting over there. How's that baby? Good. Oh, great. Okay. Let's begin with thinking about our true heart treasures. Proverbs uses the idea of how much we long for money and pursue money and how much our heart goes out after treasures in order to point us to something far greater and far more important. Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 15. We're going to a lot of text this morning. This is what God's Word says. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her, we could put in our modern term, the yield on interest from her, is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. We will be pleasing to God when we seek after His wisdom, like we tend to pursue our treasures. Our struggle is located by the Scriptures in what we value. We believe that money is better than wisdom. We then desire money more than wisdom. And the belief and this desire unite together in our hearts to cause us to work hard to get money and wealth. It also causes us to feel satisfied when we have it, anxious when we sense it is threatened, and frustrated and depressed when we don't get it. But the Lord wants us to prize Him and His wisdom. In order to pursue wisdom with the same diligence that we pursue money, we're going to have to repent and confess that wisdom in Christ is a very great and valuable treasure. You have to confess that and believe that to be true. We will also have to repent and desire and delight in wisdom more than we do money. Then we will begin to go after wisdom in our praying, in our decisions, in our actions. We will feel deeply satisfied when wisdom is gained and acted on. We will feel anxious when the way of wisdom is threatened. And we will be frustrated over the folly and failures of wisdom. All this will take place when God's wisdom is our greatest treasure. See, God's wisdom is not just a set of principles, but it is those principles derived from a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Proverbs 8, verses 14 and verses 18 through 21. I refrain from preaching on this whole thing and leave it to Chad to lay this on you in Sunday school. But verse 14 and then verses 18 through 21, here wisdom speaks and calls. And she says, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. Then down to verse 18. Riches and honor with me. Enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold. My yield and choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. So God, through Proverbs, not only commends to us, but also calls out to us the value and treasure of wisdom in Christ. These verses are wisdom preaching to us in the Word through Jesus to fill our storehouses, our banks, with the real riches of wisdom. Go down Tuesday morning and write wisdom on your deposit and put that in the bank. Wisdom is held up with something that's desirable and beautiful and value, dazzles us. It's displayed and modeled so as to draw out our affections to it. In words related to money and finance, true riches are found in the wisdom that is in Christ. The best yield, the most wonderful return on your investment is in wisdom. The harvest from which wisdom is the best fruit. The mining of wisdom will uncover better nuggets than gold. Do you so treasure wisdom that you pursue it and you bank on it like you do your money? The first principle, God's wisdom is our greatest treasure. Not only is our true heart treasure as true riches, but as a true reward. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 4. Using the same kind of analogies, and the Lord shows us how this is a true reward. Proverbs 22, 4, God's Word says, the reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. So if you want riches and honor and life, just be humble and fear the Lord. Is that it? Is this prosperity stuff? Well, let's dig it a little deeper and think about it. First, prosperity, power, and permanence, these are the much sought-after rewards that money often brings. Some desire money for its own sake. You know, just pile it up just so I've got my bags and so I can go along and just weigh them and carry them and you know, flick through the green. Most desire money for the reward and the recognition and the responsibilities it brings them. But the wisdom of God is different. We ought to pursue God's approval as our primary reward. This great reward is in true riches and honor in life. It is the true riches of doing God's will and living in wisdom. It is the honor of God's pleasure over us. It is life. It is life eternal beyond this shadow of suffering. But God's true reward, His pleasure over us, is brought about not by pursuing money, but by putting on godly virtue. The most extolled virtues in the wisdom literature here in our Bibles are right here. Humbleness before God and fear of the Lord are what God rewards. When we fear and honor the greatness of our God, then we will know our proper place before Him. When we will bow, not in terror, but in the humility of saints and sons and soldiers and servants. Then there is true riches, true reward. So the next principle, God's approval is our greatest reward. Do you so want God's reward that you will humble yourself before Him and fear Him? Do you want true riches and honor and life? God's wisdom is our greatest treasure. God's approval is our greatest reward. Don't you want, in that day, to stand before God and hear Him say, "You did good. Well done. Well done." Well, if we're going to have a heart treasure that's focused rightly on wisdom, we need a proper evaluation of money. We need to know what money is really like and how Christian virtues relate to that. This leads us then to a cluster of proverbs that help have a true assessment of the value of money. We're going to find the word "better" is the branch on which this cluster of truths grow. Go with me to Proverbs 15, verse 16. Proverbs 15, verse 16, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it." Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Now, we're struck immediately by a way of thinking radically different from our own. It is better to have little money and much fear of God than to have much wealth and the trouble that tends to come with it. We might say, well, we know this. We might even know that we ought to believe and desire this. But not too many want to experience this. See, we want to fear God, have money, and no trouble. Right? Yeah. And because this is better to us, we often then don't fear God, have illusions about our money, and are filled with worry and anxieties. So, say this with me. Poverty and fearing God are better than great wealth and its trouble. Do you believe that? Proverbs 16, verse 8, just across the page. Proverbs 16, verse 8. Better, there's our stem. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenue with injustice. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. It is better to be poor and have a right standing with God than to have a really great income and a lack of compassion and justice. Now, we may well be able to have a compassionate heart shaped by a right standing with God, righteousness, that causes us to use a great income to do practical deeds of mercy to help others. But we must so value holiness in principle and practice that we are content, if necessary, to be poor. So say this with me. Poverty and righteousness are better than a large income and inequity. Do you believe that? Then turn with me to Proverbs 28 and verse 6. Proverbs 28 and verse 6. This is what God's Word says. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. Most Christians affirm this truth. We don't want to be crooked people. We want a people who walk in integrity. But then we envy the rich. We look at what their crookedness gets them, and in our heart of hearts, we go, oh, that's nice. You know? Next Sunday morning, we'll be looking at Psalm 73. See, here's a value statement for us. It is better to be poor and act with honesty in all our dealings than to be rich and have a guilty conscience over how we acquired our money or how we treated people. Do you value your integrity? Do you value it so much you'd quit a really good job when your personal integrity and honesty are at stake? Blatantly. Let me put it right where your feet rub the road. Will you lie for your company? Say this with me. Poverty and integrity are better than being rich and crooked. Let's look at Proverbs 22, verse 1. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Favor is better than silver or gold. How many people and companies have sacrificed a good name and reputation just for a little more money? And we can all shake our heads over everyone else who's done this. But what about us? I had a mentor in college, one of my favorite teachers and the man who did enormous things by God's grace to shape my life. He had sold an older car to someone from town. Now, if you teach in a Christian college, you don't make much money, and so you drive rattletrap cars. I mean, the parking lot at college was pretty sad. And within a week, the car broke down and needed an expensive repair. The buyer contacted the teacher, and he was upset, thinking he'd been cheated. My mentor, believing that a good name was better than the money from the car, offered to give the money back or pay for its repair. I was standing around in a group where one person suggested a contractor for work on their house because he was a Christian. The response? I wouldn't knowingly hire another Christian to wash my dog. I was visiting businessmen in the community where I used to pastor in Illinois. I was just trying to build relationships for the gospel. At one car dealer, a salesman asked me if a certain person attended my church. And of course he did. The salesman said, I would not darken the door of your church while that thief attended. And if you know what he is like and you permit him to attend, I have no respect for you. He thumped me on the chest. Stories like this can be repeated over and over again. And they are a terrible, terrible shame. We ought to so prize the name of Christ in our reputations that we will be willing to sacrifice in order to protect and preserve that name. and office bearers in the church must have a good reputation, not only in the church, but with unbelievers. So is this the way we are? Do we hunger to have a good name, not just for ourselves, but also as people who represent Christ? So, say this with me. Poverty and a good name are better than wealth and a bad reputation. Do you believe that? If we're going to think about the proper valuation on money, we had better have an understanding of the fleeting value of money. We saw that graphically illustrated in the aftermath of the hurricane in New Orleans. We will see it in what Proverbs will say. Proverbs 11, verses 4 and 28. Proverbs 11, verses 4 and 28. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. And verse 4, I'm sorry, I was reading in verse 28, I did them backwards. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Why do you trust in your money? We trust in our money because we use it to buy satisfaction, security, and safety in the future. Wisdom says to us that those who are righteous and do not trust in money will thrive. This is not a health and wealth verse. We need to be righteous because what will your money amount to when you're standing before God? All your money will not protect you from the wrath of God in this life nor in the life to come. All of the wealth of oil and entertainment could not for one moment hold back or divert the powerfully destructive winds of Hurricane Katrina. Not only can it not protect us from the wrath of God, but it will be frittered away attempting to rebuild in the aftermath. Except, beloved, your money will do you no good when the wrath of God falls and hell opens wide to receive you. What good will all your money be on the day of doom? Riches cannot be trusted. And in the light of that, turn over to Proverbs 23 and verse 4. Money tends to be elusive. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it's gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Oh, how easily money flies away. Has it ever seemed like that to you? You just seem to get ahead a little bit and then the car's transmission goes out. Or the roof starts leaking. Johnny's teeth need braces. Or you get the new tuition for the school year. Wisdom through Christ tells us to be discerning. Have real wise insight. Know that wealth is elusive and fragile. There are so many things that eat away at what is gathered. While people are amassing fabulous wealth today, they are only a local crash or a global catastrophe away from poverty. From vast empires to your small bank accounts, money has wings, and it will fly away. Riches cannot be trusted, and riches are so very easily lost. If money is fleeting, why do we hunger and desire not only for it, but get it quickly? I had trouble getting a title for this heading. So I called it money acquired over time. And this is meant as a positive. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 21. Very interesting way the Hebrew points this for us. An inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end. There's a companion verse to that in Proverbs 13:11. We're going to look at 13:11 in depth. But I want you to listen to this because this word, the use of the word hastily is interesting. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase. An inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end. So much of what looks like wealth today is nothing but debt. We all see the advertisement on TV. The guy is showing off his great home, his new car, his country club. How does he do it? I love it because he's riding around in his mower. He says, how do I do it? I'm head over my heels in debt. He just says it in this sort of matter-of-fact voice, won't somebody help me? I wonder if that strikes home even in this congregation. We want right now all that our parents took years to build and save. So we go into debt to get it. This is what this proverb is referring to. Wanting too much too soon without waiting patiently for it. The principle runs like this. Quick wealth, rarely a blessing. Now, Proverbs 13:11 points us to the fact not to acquire it by fraud. There's a little bit of a twist on the word hastily, which our translators in the ESV captured and put it down in the footnote. Wealth gained hastily, with the implication of by fraud, will dwindle. Whoever gathers little by little will increase it. You can see that this hunger for quick wealth, have it right now. It's what's driving both of these verses. An inordinate desire to get rich quick is the fuel for so many frauds. The ability of the internet and infomercials to spread fraud is appalling. I bet every day I've won a lottery and some Nigerian wants me to be his banker. Is particularly distressing when Christians and churches and Christian schools are taken in by several of the Ponzi schemes. Instead of patiently waiting on the Lord, making wise decisions and being discerning, the desire to have what was wanted blinded them to the deception. You must be careful when you get involved in ways of making money that seem to shortcut hard work, promise easy riches, and great income. Just turn them off. And I could go through and list you all the infomercials that promise you that stuff. Brothers and sisters, fraudulent gain is wicked. But what about using money rightly? Proverbs 11:24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Here is a basic principle that runs all through the Scriptures. Give money away to gain. Proverbs observes the principle of God's world. The more you give and share, the more you tend to receive in return. Now, we're not talking about some law as though God is bound to it. We're observing a general way of God in His world. And you should not give in order to try to become rich. And God sees your heart. He knows what you're doing. He ain't fooled. Only the people passing the basket may be fooled. God commends to us an attitude of generosity. If we are stingy and ungenerous, we will find that attitude ever more increasing and our needs and wants along with it. The Christmas story of Scrooge so wonderfully captures the spirit of this proverb. Therefore, generosity will mark godly people, and stinginess leads to want. What about honoring God with our money? Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. All through the Bible, God's people are shown to be those who give to God. They give in a way that's appropriate for the time in which they live. But mark this, honoring the Lord means we will be giving people. This is not a matter of tipping God or dropping whatever we feel at the moment. The consistent pattern of Scripture is giving directed by God's Word and desires to please God in every area of life. It's giving with a sense of purpose and planning and proportion. Everywhere. In Old Covenant terminology, God promises to bless those who are generous. Paul tells us that oftentimes that blessing may not be material, but rather spiritual. He says that as you give, God will increase your harvest of righteousness and practical holiness. You may give away and not receive more money. But all the fruit of righteousness that accrues across your vineyard. Godliness will involve giving. It's not just for those who are doing well. It's even for the widows and their mites. From that example by Jesus, we know that the amount that is given is not what God measures. It's what is left over for our own use measures the quality of our giving. The principle here, when a Christian prospers, God intends for giving to increase. Proverbs 10:22, and I need to hasten here a bit. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrows with it. This is an interesting proverb. And we need to read the whole sentence to get it right. Because you can take this apart and read it in bits. And really get it wrong. Let me phrase it this way. When God's blessing is money, there will be no trouble or sorrow with it. Make sense of that? You can see right away that there is all kinds of riches and prosperity that are not God's blessing. Plenty of people have a great deal of wealth and all sorts of trials and troubles and sorrows attending their wealth. But the blessing of God that brings a measure of financial success will be accompanied with joy and satisfaction in God. You see what I'm saying? See, I can only conclude from this and many other texts that God can both bless and curse you with money. Careful what you wish for. When this principle, when we prosper with joy, we must attribute it to the blessing of God. Now we're getting some balance, aren't we? It's better to be poor than. But when God is pleased to bless us and there is joy attending it, okay? We're not saying that poverty equals holiness. And then we need to be diligent with our money, Proverbs 10 and verse 4. And this will set us up for all the rest of our studies on Sunday evening. Proverbs 10 verse 4, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He further goes on in this connection to say, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. This final proverb we will consider is an observation that throughout the rest of Scripture is often turned into an exhortation. If you handled your money sloppily, you will waste a great deal of it. That is a simple fact, brothers and sisters. It's like our time. It's like our abilities. If we don't have some measure of diligence in organizing it and tracking it and thinking carefully about it, we will begin to fritter it away. But if you are careful and diligent in planning a budget and tracking your expenses and managing your debt and paying your bills, you will find that the money that God gives you will go so much further. And so, this principle on which we will build our workshops through the rest of September, we must be diligent with our money in practical budgeting and spending. Well, let me close with a review of what we have learned from Proverbs this morning. First, I'm just going to run through these. God's wisdom is our greatest treasure. God's approval is our greatest reward. Poverty and fearing God are better than great wealth and its trouble. Poverty and righteousness are better than a large income and inequity. Poverty and integrity are better than being rich and crooked. And poverty and a good name are better than wealth and a bad reputation. Do you believe these things? Riches cannot be trusted. Riches are easily lost. Quick wealth is rarely a blessing. Fraudulent gain is wicked. Do you avoid these things? And finally, this last cluster. Generosity will mark godly people. Stinginess will lead to want. When a Christian prospers, God intends for giving to increase. When we prosper with joy, we attribute it to the blessing of God. And we must be diligent with our money in practical budgeting and spending. So, the OJ's had it right. Gotta have it. I really need it. How many things have I heard you say? Some people really need it. How many things have I heard you say? Gotta have it. I really need it. How many things have I heard you say? Don't let money rule you. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you, our ruler and our redeemer. We will not bow before money, its wealth, its riches, its lure, its attraction. We purpose to be dazzled by you, so we will run after you and your wisdom with all of our might. The glory of God will attend our way. In Jesus' name, amen.